97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And let me assure you, this show could have started at around by 4:45 yesterday afternoon. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. However you are listening, whether it is on your radio through your car, at home, whether you're listening on the app, whether you're listening on Alexa, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you've got us pulled up on Twitch.tv, it is going to be an amazing day. And the 6 a.m. sponsor of the John Kincaid Show, we want to thank our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White, they are here for the pro. I will tell you that survivors are to be admired. It's a skill. It's in your DNA. You got to recognize survivors in life, even when they survive with subpar performance. Because how do they do it? There's an art form to holding a position when you completely fail at it over and over again. And in my mind, the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman, defines survivors. And it should be noted that him surviving Chip Kelly did lead to the only championship this franchise has celebrated in the Super Bowl era. But the idea that he was the chosen one yesterday not to exit this franchise, to me, continues to be confounding. And Doug Peterson's firing yesterday is top of conversation today. Hearing Jeff Lurie on the Mike Missinelli show yesterday, blathering on and on about culture and spinning that his organization is still successful, makes zero sense. And I don't know how Howie survived, but yesterday Howie survived Doug. They should have exited together. Instead, Howie's blurred vision gets to make another longtime decision for this club. You don't understand it. We don't understand it. But for Doug, I'm sure he's never going to understand it. Doug Peterson, his career in Philadelphia, congratulations for a great run that ended poorly. But that's where we begin on the 6 o'clock hour. The John Kincaid Show, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, and Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille, at the helm. And Bob, when the news broke yesterday, there are some who were surprised. I was not the least bit surprised. When we were in here doing the show yesterday, we talked about it at the very beginning of the show. Two men walk in, one man walks out. I fully expected Doug to get fired.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at the timing of it, that it happened that quickly. I thought maybe, you know, you have lunch, you talk, you come back, you reconvene for dinner maybe, whatever it would be. So the fact that at 2 o'clock, you know, all of our phones start lighting up saying that he's gone, I was a little bit surprised at that. But no, my initial reaction, and I like when these things happen to see how I feel, because it lets you know. My initial reaction was, okay. Yeah, I think I expected it. And I think it's good for the organization moving forward. I think you can get a better head coach in here.
Are you up in your feelings, Jamie Lynch, as an Eagles fan? Because there is a nostalgia with Doug Peterson, but yesterday, I thought it was going to happen. It happened, and it was pretty abrupt the way it happened. But I'll tell you this, Bob's saying maybe stick around, maybe do dinner. Dude, if I know you've got the dagger out for me, I got fired over my contract was not renewed, over a chicken Caesar after I got done a show. So I understand. Believe me, do not go to eat with your bosses. I think we've learned that lesson. Do not. Doug Peterson learned it. I learned it the hard way. Do not, when the boss invites you out to eat, it's bad news. It's the last freaking supper.
Yeah,
it is. You're in trouble.
Yeah, it's concerning about the franchise, because only in Philadelphia would the guy that broke a 52-year drought and brought something to the fan base that nobody's ever experienced before, one of the best days of my sports life, can 3 years later he be fired in Florida over tea sandwiches. Like,
I'm assuming the tea sandwiches, by the way, I'm assuming that. But in Palm Beach?
Yeah.
I bet there's some caterers that do really
Jeffrey.
Nice tea sandwiches.
It's just kind of sad.
Tofu.
That it happened this quick. Nostalgic, like, Doug's got a special place in my heart forever.
Sure,
and always.
Absolutely.
He's the guy, you know, Philly. All. It's just kind of sad about the state of it. They're like kind of fourth, like third or fourth now in terms of having it together.
Pat Egan, you've been called to a few meetings with management in your life.
Many, yeah.
Is it over a lunch? Is it
no?
Were you ever put on a private jet to go meet with the bosses?
No, shockingly not. I was put on a private hand cart, but luckily there was no food served, so I kept my job. Actually, when you started talking about surviving and how people survive in this industry, or well, in life, well, I guess you should say.
You said this industry. There's a lot of people yeah, who do. Believe
that
me.
That really hit home with me, but I wasn't. Surprised, but yet I was kind of in the same realm as Jamie. I was when Bob, when you said that it hit you how fast it happened, that was my reaction. Like, he wasn't even on the plane yet, you'd figure, and it was just out, it was done.
Okay, and that too is where, though, the idea that Doug is the first one out. I think most Eagle fans wanted Howie to be the first one out.
Oh yeah,
they wanted Howie Roseman gone. And Howie Roseman continues to just slide through. He slides through. And Doug Peterson's legacy in this town will be nothing less than complicated.
Yeah, I mean, it's appreciated. And look, I've been the one more than anyone that has questioned his coaching ability, rightfully or wrongfully. That's just the way it is. But I do stand up and applaud him.
Yes, absolutely.
You did something, as Jamie pointed out, that no other coach has ever done here. Hopefully somebody else will do it here before our lifetime is over. But, so for that, applauded, fine. I am shocked at what Jeffrey Lurie said, and I know we'll get into it about how he just glosses over the job that Howie Roseman has done and how his decision of getting rid of Doug Peterson in his mind, in his explanation was, well, he wanted to win this year, and we're looking bigger picture.
Did Doug Peterson, Jamie Lynch, get the result he wanted out of that meeting yesterday?
Yes.
I believe so, too. Anybody, are we all in agreement?
I do, too, yeah.
I think once he won, he realized he was established in this league and he had hand. He was no longer the puppet at the end of the strings.
Oh, he was the puppet.
He was, but when he won, he realized he didn't have to be anymore.
Okay.
And I think that's when the conflict started. He's listening to Howie Roseman tell him this and that, and he's going, dude, I'm a Super Bowl winning coach. Bug off, Littlefinger. You know, like, and I think that's where it started.
Now, you know, you can it'd be like cutting a finger off.
Yeah.
Just really, really hard. You don't want that.
That's why you choose the little.
Yes.
Yeah. I think when you look at this Doug Peterson situation, he knew that he would have options elsewhere. He'd probably have his pick of the litter for a lot of places, too, because of the fact he has that Super Bowl ring. It's only 3 years removed. So I think when he looks at it, he goes, hold the phone. I'm getting insight from the guy who wanted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf and then the owner who gets involved.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm out. Thanks. It was fun, but we'll do this again sometime. Maybe not.
We will interact with you all day long here on the John Kincaid Show at 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And we'll have lots more in the story, all the different layers to the proverbial onion throughout the course of the day. Mike and Del Ran is first up this morning. Mike, good morning. Welcome to the John Kincaid Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
I agree with you guys. I think Doug got exactly what he wanted out of that. After that first meeting, when Lurie poo-pooed his plans, he thought, you know what? I don't need you. I'm a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And you know what? Fine. Good for both. I think it's going to be good for both him and the organization. As far as Howie Roseman goes, you know, I think Jeffrey Lurie seriously thinks that Howie didn't do that bad of a job. He just thinks Doug doesn't know how to coach these guys. As we said the other day, and we've always said, guys come here, they stink, they leave, and they play better. And maybe Jeffrey Lurie just thought Doug couldn't get it done. Come on!
Maybe he did.
Thanks, Mike.
Maybe he did. I'm going to tell you, I love the
enthusiasm. There's validity to that.
There's some
validity to that. I am not saying at all Howie Roseman has done a good job. But like Mike says, they bring some people in. They don't seem to get better here. They leave, and they seem to be capable NFL players. Why?
Well here's what I'm going to say, though, is anybody who tells me today the answer is, this is better for the organization. We're going to get the coaching is going to get better. We're going to be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me who the coach is? And by the way, if you tell me that it's a first-time NFL coach, more than half of them fail.
Right.
So,
get ready.
When you tell me that it is a first, we're going to go get this. The coaching's going to be better. It's time. Get Doug out of here. We'll get a better coach. Really?
Well,
you may get Adam freaking Gase.
Yeah.
You may be looking at blue eyes.
It can't be that stupid.
They may be looking at blue eyes.
Well, it all
one blue that way, one blue that way.
It all comes down to, do they want to be the puppet master?
Or well, they do.
They do. And that is the biggest problem.
And you know they
do. So that screams Mike Kafka to me. That screams potentially maybe even a Lincoln Riley and tormenting Carson Wentz even more.
We are getting down to the point that whoever brings Andy Reid his lunch on Wednesdays gets an interview with Jeffrey Lurie.
Basically.
Anyone who had anything to do with Andy Reid at some point. By the way, the Andy Reid tree has been a hell of a lot more successful than the Belichick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
Belichick's tree is terrible.
Well, it is.
Do you think that Jeffrey's already talked to Andy? Because I think he has.
Have a relationship.
Yes. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
I would think he already spoke to him about Eric and Mike.
He's all reliable.
It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy because I think they go in with, I think this organization goes in with preconceived notions. Before they ask the question, they already know the answer. They know where they want to end up. And they want to end up with somebody who doesn't have a lot of hand and doesn't have a lot of control. So Wentz and Peterson, two people that we will analyze in Cooney's Corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
By the way, Cooney's Corner's growing on me.
Yeah?
It's just the sound of it's growing on me.
Oh, okay.
But who knows?
Just as we're about to change the name, it's growing on you.
It's growing on me. Look, we don't care about anything on this show. Everything on this show is just very temporary.
Mm-hmm.
We can decide what we like. It could be something tomorrow.
Including Coach?
It could be Cooney's clandestine... Cooney's clandestine quarters.
Wow.
You never
something
know.
Something crazy like that.
It'd be.
Yeah, so today, I put it out there... Wentz versus Peterson. So Carson Wentz came out on top yesterday. There's no question about it. He's here. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think yesterday's actions tell you that. I'm just anxious. What does the locker room think? We saw players. Thanks, Coach. Zach Ertz was one of the first of them. Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Doug. All this. I think part of the emotional intelligence, and Jamie, this is you and I have talked about this so much. About how how Doug
emotional intelligence
owned the locker room that way. A player's coach, the players really liked him. He reminded us. I think he
gave him ice cream.
He played in the NFL, right?
I think he played quarterback.
Okay,
in the NFL.
He gave him ice cream, but Andy Reid gave them tacos. Right?
That's true.
Oh yeah, they ate good down there under the Reid and Peterson regime. Yeah, but. Is this good? Is this what the... I'm anxious to think, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it, but we don't do that before a show. Is Carson Wentz going to be able to seamlessly come back and just lead this team now?
No.
Because basically, if you want to look at it, he could be to blame for Doug Peterson losing his job.
It
kind of came down to... It's either him or me, whether, you know, Carson said that or not. Now, maybe Carson never said that, and it just came down to we have to stick with a $100-plus million guy. It's easy to get a coach. You can't find another franchise quarterback. And I even said if you had to move on from one, and I believe you had to separate the two, that I would have moved on from Peterson. But I wonder what the players feel. I wonder if this knocks Carson Wentz down even more in some of their eyes.
Well, we haven't seen, has Carson Wentz slipped any handwritten notes under the desk like a fifth grader? Hey, I like you.
Wow, you're really down on him.
Well, no, because Carson doesn't speak. I don't know grown men that don't speak. I don't know it. By the way, we are now at 24 franchises are not playing football.
And all of them have spoken.
23 out of 24, their highest paid player, has spoken to the media.
How about that?
23 of 24. It is unacceptable. And yes, Carson Wentz ran him out of town.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real doubt about it.
Or otherwise.
I mean, part of it may be that they were handcuffed by his contract and they think it's going to be... You know, really tough to move, and they kind of were forced in that regard. But to Bob's point, I do fear what that locker room's going to be like, because I'm sure Doug had his crew. You know, the Brandon Grahams of the world, maybe even a Kelsey, maybe some influential leadership in that locker room.
Well, who
and Carson
like ice cream?
And Carson had his corner.
Yeah,
so
we can give Cooney's corner to Carson.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll
Bob
be interesting
want
to see.
It, we give it to Carson.
Now, we're also going under the assumption that it's that divided, which I don't know if it is.
But it's probably not surface level divided, but in their heart of hearts, the things they don't tell people, they probably have their guy between the two.
Yeah, I mean, look what
because
Carson's
it's a
gone through.
Divide
sure. I mean, Carson went through the homage that was put up in the locker room to Nick Foles, right? He's had to put up now with the apparency of Doug Peterson as head coach and he not getting along, both professionally, maybe personally also. I don't know how you, I'm going to hit on it later in the show, but it's going to be really hard for Carson, I think, to recoup everybody on in his corner.
Egan, I take offense with Bob's premise, though. Carson's had to put up with. Carson's had to, like, people make it out like Carson Wentz, like the Eagles were supposed to ignore what happened when they won a championship, the parts that didn't involve Carson Wentz. And everybody's worried about this man's sensitivity to everything.
Yeah, he's the franchise quarterback. He should be.
Really?
I'm more concerned that you're not.
I'm not.
Yeah, look, it's not the ideal circumstance. The things that he's had to endure throughout his Eagles career haven't been ideal. He hasn't had an easy go of it, and he's played at a high level. And then the straw that broke the camel's back seemed to be when they drafted Jalen Hurts.
What do I tell you about business prima donnas?
Yeah, I don't care about...
I can't stand grown men in the business world, whether it's football, whether it's radio, whether it's business, who think that they're above the fray, think that they are not one of the masses,
right.
Think that they deserve, well, I'm going to follow these rules, everybody else is following these rules. I can't stand that. So I have no respect for this. So Carson Wentz, if you think there's a different narrative, write one of your scribble little notes, hand it under the table to your to the guys who pick up your dry cleaning for you, and get the message out to the public.
Yeah,
because you're not talking for a reason.
I could care less about his sensitivity, and I've said that over and over and over again. You're here to play football. I don't care about the other things. But there have been some over-the-top stuff. Like, when you sit back and think that you get hurt, you have a broken back.
Yes.
And your backup has to play, and one of your teammates is building a shrine to that player in the locker room. Like, I'm not talking sin. I could be the toughest guy in the world. That's a little over the top.
Well, not only that, but you kind of came back way early because of the fact that that quarterback and Nick Foles was not playing well. You know, to start the season, didn't play well. The ideal situation would have been Nick Foles plays really well and it gives Carson Wentz enough time. He came back a month early.
That report sponsored by our friends at Wawa. Okay, one of the best parts about moving home.
I bet.
And Jamie said it to me one day. Goes, bet you like saying that?
Yeah.
Wawa.
I had a sizzler yesterday on the way in.
Craving comfort food? Try Wawa's barbecued brisket. Enjoy brisket on a brioche bun or in a bowl today. Gotta have a Wawa. Remember, the Sixers in the Heat. 7 o'clock tonight. Sixers going up against little Eric Spoelstra and the boys. Plus, the Flyers and the Penguins. Tomorrow night, 5:30.
Woo!
Be sure to join Devon Givens in the paint after the Sixers and the Heat tonight. In the post. I'm sorry about that. If we need guys in the paint, though, making a few baskets.
Yeah. They're,
you are allowed to take it in the paint and score, right?
Yes.
You didn't like the
that
four.
That is allowed. You are allowed to do that. I just want to make sure of that.
You didn't like the four combined points from Danny Green and Mike Scott?
So is there something like radioactive about the paint? You're allowed to score in the paint, correct? You're allowed to take it all the way to the rim, and you can even jam at home, right?
Yeah. It's 1 point less than if you shoot beyond this big line.
Good. You're going to coach me up on that. You told me that.
Yeah, but two is better than none.
Well, it was nice of Danny Green to continue the wonderful Philadelphia tradition of great shooters coming here and forgetting how to shoot. So that was nice.
You want to get in with us on the Doug Peterson story? We'd love to hear from you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I do believe, though, and I think Doug went into the meeting, and I get the call.
He probably had a tea time for 2 o'clock.
You ever had the call with your wife before something's going on at work or otherwise you're going into a meeting or something like that, and you're I have this meeting, and I know it's going to be contentious. And then your wife will text you later, say, how'd the meeting go? I guarantee you, Doug went into that meeting yesterday, Sunday night. He's sitting having probably Wawa on his hotel bed, because they have Wawas in Florida now.
Yeah.
And he is probably having Wawa on his hotel bed saying, tomorrow I'm getting fired, and it's exactly what I want to happen.
Probably.
I don't believe he wanted to keep his job. I don't believe he did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it got toxic here. I think the obvious divide between him and Carson Wentz just became too palpable that you couldn't continue here. Maybe the Howie stuff also was getting on him. And if you could look ahead, if you were Doug Peterson, as Jamie said, he's going to come out as a good guy. He goes in there, he gets fired. Okay, you know, you have a quarterback that you don't like. You have a GM that you don't like. I'm the good guy. I got fired. I'll have a new job by the end of the week.
Jamie, if there's no contract involved, okay, there's no long-term contract with either gentleman, does the organization still choose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson? if the contract, if we could take all that guaranteed money out of it.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Do you believe the same result of the same meeting?
It's a great question.
It is. That's
terrific. If you took the money out of it.
I still think the franchise quarterback, and I do that in quotes because last year was doo-doo, wins out in that battle. But they might just move on from him if it wasn't for that albatross of a contract.
Egan, we can, on a one-time off basis, do the trite, let's throw up the poll question.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, look, Levitard's, wow. Levitard's studying.
Wow.
We can, on an exceptional basis.
This is our second now.
Well, it is. I just said it to you. It's like, I knew I was back home in Philly when the first segment of every radio show threw out the poll question. Yeah. I knew I was home. I was like, okay, we're home.
We got to see what you think.
See what you think. And by the way, 9% of Americans, 9.5%, by the way, the latest numbers from, I think, J.D. Power, 9.7% of Americans are on Twitter.
That's it?
You're kidding me. Wow.
Yes.
I would have guessed higher.
Yes. Yeah, so would
9.7%
wow.
of individual Americans have a Twitter account.
Huh. Have either of you ever been polled? Or Pat as well? Because I've never
that's
been polled.
That's a rather personal question.
I'm sorry, what?
Can you describe that in vivid detail?
I can't do that on radio, Pat.
Pat, if that is not saved,
yeah, we'll make
leave
that a drop.
Out the bottom of the hour.
Apparently you have.
Yes,
no,
exactly.
I've never been polled.
Oh, okay. Tell us,
how was
it? I'm not believing. It's like Stephanie yesterday. I got an email from a gentleman to track down my email, and he's like, okay, what was the whole Stephanie thing about? I said, people were very confused by it. I said,
Tyrell, we got
I
your
asked
back.
Tyrell. I said, who is this girl? And he mentioned the name Stephanie. Somebody named Stephanie heard him.
Yeah.
They heard Tyrell.
Somebody texted me and said, it's always a Stephanie.
It's a Stephanie?
Yeah.
See, Jennifer's.
I don't even know. Oh, I know one stuff. Jennifer? Yeah, that was...
There are Jennifers, though. There were I don't believe any Jennifer was born before 1970.
No?
Not that I ever encountered.
Well...
Jennifers. If there's a Jennifer born in the 60s, their parents were forward-thinking.
Is that our
point?
J-Lo.
Because every parent in the 60s... J-Lo was born in the 70s, wasn't she?
She just turned 50, right? So, I guess maybe 69.
Is that our poll question?
I think she was born in 69.
She was born in 69.
Yeah, wow. Way to go, J-Lo.
Jamie,
trendsetter.
Nice.
I thought that was
69.
I knew that was coming.
Nice.
I knew that was going to come. All right, we got a lot coming up. Why was this person not at this meeting? And I'm trying to figure out whether there is something to read in there. Jamie Lynch will get to it in the linchpin. It's the John Kincaid Show. The phone lines will be open for you all morning. 610-632-0975. If you get by the gatekeeper, we're talking to you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's great to be home, and it's great to be able to wager legally on sports. That's why I chose the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Why? Because I shop local. I love supporting local businesses. And the Parks Casino Sportsbook app is awesome. You can get in on all the action anytime you wish, and it's right in the palm of your hands. We've got games coming out this weekend. How about Green Bay? A little less than a touchdown. 6.5-point favorites over the Rams. A 45.5 over-under number, which is extremely intriguing. Andy Reid opens up a 10-point favorite hosting Cleveland with an over-under of 56 points. The Parks Casino Sportsbook app has got easy deposits, great odds, and outstanding customer service. New customers, sign up now and get a risk-free bet up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Remember to use the promo code FANATIC. See the website for terms and conditions. You can bet with the home team. It's that Parks Casino Sportsbook app, the home team sports betting app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know what's great is when your franchise is able to pull the audible and it works. And the idea that Adam Schefter would make time for us on today off of his normal day of Wednesday on the Comcast Business Hotline, which allows you to bounce forward. That's a pretty good move. Shefty, there's an offensive. We have offensive coordinators working on this show that are managing to maneuver you like that, and we appreciate your flexibility.
Well, I appreciate having me. Thanks very much. Nice to be with you.
We're trying to figure it out. Adam, I was asking this morning, if I knew one thing you could bring to the table today, would be the idea that Adam Schefter would know what kind of the guy that fits the suit of what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman want. You know what the guy sort of looks like. You may not know who the guy is, but sort of what they're looking for.
Well, I will say this. I think it's going to be a little bit different than what they ordinarily look for, John. And I say that for a couple of reasons. I think, number one, I think that they're going to be more open-minded to looking at defensive coaches. And ordinarily, the trend in the NFL has been to bring in an offensive-minded coach. And when you go look right now, six of the eight longest tenured coaches in the league are defensive guys. Ron Rivera, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Mike Zimmer, John Harbaugh, defensive background, even though he would coach special teams. That doesn't include Sean McDermott, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel, men who have made their mark, been competitive and successful. And so I know everybody's looking for the next young, hot Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offensive guy. But it may just be that it's a defensive guy, number one. And number two, there's been a big push in the NFL, as there should be, to have more diversity in hirings, which is something the NFL has lacked in recent years. And so that is an overdue, change to what has gone on.
Initiative, yes.
In other hiring cycles. And so, you know, there are a couple of different issues at play here that I think change the dynamics of the search in a good, positive way going forward. And we'll see what head coach that produces for the Eagles.
Yeah, Adam Schefter is brought to us by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all their customers. Download the DraftKings app and sign up using code FANATIC. Then enter a free football survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, Adam, I think a lot of the question, or a lot of the Eagles fans have this question. Does Doug Peterson's firing assure 100% that Carson Wentz is back as the Eagles quarterback?
I don't think that at all. And I'm not telling you that he's not back, but I think it's still undecided. I think that Carson Wentz probably needs to see some things, and the Eagles need to see who their coach is going to be, and they want to sit down and see how the coach feels about the quarterback. And do I think it helps the chances? Yeah. Do I think it diffuses things a little bit? Yeah. Do I think it ensures he's back? No.
I want to know, Adam, how many fingerprints from Carson Wentz are on this crime scene of Doug Peterson being dismissed?
Well, directly, I don't think very many. But indirectly, yes. Again, the two men clearly had issues, didn't get along for whatever reason, and Carson Wentz's play did not improve, develop, and it deteriorated. Now, again, you could blame that on the head coach. You could blame that on the assistant coaches that the head coach helped hire. You could blame it on any number of these factors. But if the quarterback is not growing and improving and developing and he's regressing, then you're not going to win. And if you're not going to win, you're going to get fired. And so these are broad, basic strokes. And John, I know you started last week, but if you ask Bob, the one thing we've talked about going back to early this season, and correct from wrong, Bob, when a team underperforms, it's going to come back to the coach and quarterback. How many times do we say that?
Sure.
How far back do we say that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
exactly.
When you said who's going to go, and I said, I don't know who's going to go, but I will tell you this. It's going to come back to the coach and the quarterback because it always does. And the coach was sent packing. So now we'll see if the quarterback joins him. Don't know yet. Too early to say.
So, Shefty, whenever a coach is let go, obviously the organization is in some disarray. But looking at it as a whole, the way you can nationally, how would you describe this Eagles organization right now?
I still view the Eagles as one of the better organizations in the NFL. But they're coming off a year that was, in their world, disastrous.
in their world where things just came apart. It was very un-Eagle-like. It was surprising because that's just not the way that they ordinarily are. You don't see them squabbling, deteriorating, crumbling. And that's what that team did this year. You know, they were beset by the issues that normally affect other franchises. And they got a taste of what it was like to be in Cleveland in previous years or Jacksonville or any of the places that just lose. That's what they did. They lost. I mean, when you win four games, and again, in a division that was gift wrap for you to win, it was just sitting there, and they couldn't do it, right? So we'll see how it plays out, but it was a bad year for a good organization, and now we'll see if they can get back to their winning ways.
Adam Schefter joining us on that Comcast Business Hotline. We appreciate that, and you can always bounce forward with Comcast. So let me ask you, when you heard Jeffrey Lurie's evaluation publicly yesterday of Howie Roseman's job performance, it left this city with a collective eye roll, Adam, that he appears disconnected from reality. This roster is a dumpster fire. And the cap situation is, but Jeffrey Lurie was telling everybody yesterday, nothing to see here, move on.
Well, listen, the public thinks that, and you think that, John, but
sure,
we don't know what a different coaching staff would get out of this roster. What if they had somebody that managed to elevate Carson's play to the level that they've seen? What if, for starters, just that were happening? Don't you think if Carson's playing at an MVP level, that Jalen Reagor is making more plays? Don't you think Miles Sanders is making more plays? Don't you think Dallas Goedert is making more plays? And so I know it's quick and easy to go, you know, jump on the GM, jump on everybody. But this is what they have identified, right or wrong, as the issue. And because they've been a good organization, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and see how it plays out. I think, unlike others, that there is talent on the roster.
Adam?
I think there are players who can win there.
Sorry to step on you there. If you had to guess, if I set an over-under at 2 weeks of Doug Peterson having a head coaching job in the NFL, would you take that under or the over?
I take the over. First of all,
you think the playoffs got to shake out?
I'm not convinced he's getting head. First of all, I'm not convinced he wants to coach again this year, number one. Number two, I'm not convinced he's going to be a head coach this year. So there's two issues there.
Wow.
Tell me where he's going to be a head coach. You're going to tell me the New York Jets, right?
I mean, him and Joe Douglas have a relationship. That's all we know.
I would expect him to be in consideration there. I would expect him to talk to them. I'm not sure if that's the direction the Jets will go. I don't think it's a slam dunk. I just don't. And tell me the next place that you think is going to hire him.
If I was Doug, I'd have interest in working with Herbert out in L.A.
It's a good spot. And by the way, that would make sense for both sides. That would make sense for both sides. Knows that division. But I think that they're looking at, right now, they have been looking at Brian Daboll, Jason Garrett, Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, don't say Jason Garrett here. that would get people scared at this point. It's too early for that, Adam. I got to say this, though. If you're talking about most of these coaching jobs, you're saying the main role is to develop the young quarterback. And isn't that where Doug Peterson's tenure in Philadelphia ended as a failure?
That's why I don't believe there's a team that's rushing to go higher. Why I took the over.
There you go.
That's why I'm not convinced he's even going to get a head coaching job in this cycle. And I know that the four other coaches that Jeffrey Lurie has fired, Rich Kotite, Ray Rhodes, Chip Kelly, Andy Reid, they've all gotten head coaching jobs in that very same head coaching hiring cycle. I got it.
Yep.
I'm not convinced that that's going to happen here. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited.
No, no.
I just, you want somebody who is, first of all, raring to go. Do we know that Doug's raring to go? I don't know. You know, I got Sal Palantonio on ESPN talking about how Doug isn't convinced he wants to coach this year. Number one. Number two, we're coming off a year in which clearly there were major issues with the quarterback. Is that the guy I now want to turn to hand Justin Herbert or whoever it is to? I don't know. You know, sometimes, and I've said this to coaches who have gotten fired, I've said this to them. Sometimes coaches, they try to rush back in that very year, and they're interviewing for head coaching jobs, and they're trying to get another job, and sometimes they're not recovered, and they're not healed. And it's almost like, you know, it's a very good analogy that I think people understand, dating. You're in a major relationship for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You break up. Sometimes it's better to take a year, take a step back, gather your thoughts, analyze the situation, assess your life, and a year later, come back in, start dating again, and be smarter about it. Make better decisions.
Adam, what would you do if you had an unscheduled year off? Let's say ESPN was stupid and got rid of you, and you had a year off. Would your wife be ready to just, like, throw you out of the house in 2 weeks?
I had that. What would you do, a year? Wait, John, I had NFL Network cleaned out my office in 2009.
Okay.
And basically put me on ice for the last 6 months of my contract when we couldn't come to an agreement on a new deal. And basically I had 6 months off.
What did you do? Most frequently, and were you driving people crazy while you were doing it?
I'll say this. It took about 2, 3 weeks to just decompress, to understand that your life, you're not on the clock every minute of every day. And then once that happened, it was nice and leisurely. Now, this was 2009, it was 11 years ago. You know what I did do? And this is why it would be different. In June of 2009... after they took me off the air in March of 2009, I joined Twitter.
See that? you've done pretty well with that, too, I got to tell you. Hey, Adam, we appreciate you checking in this morning, and thank you for the flexibility.
Oh, guys, my play. Hey, listen, I'm fired up to see. I got some guys that I think they should go after. I think they should make a push at Lincoln Riley, because if they don't get him, it wouldn't shock me if one day Lincoln Riley were coaching the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Okay. I think that I'd want to go talk to Brandon Staley of the Rams. I'd want to talk to Robert Saleh, who's an incredibly impressive guy with the 49ers. I told you defensive guys, those are guys I'd be looking at. Arthur Smith has a really good reputation. I've never spoken to Arthur Smith in my life, so I don't know what kind of man he is or isn't. But, you know, Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, is the son of Fred Smith, the owner of FedEx. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. Dad made him get a job. That's awesome. I admire that. Arthur Smith
has done all right with his dad, Fred.
Yes, okay, he certainly has.
Exactly.
Thank you, Adam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.